time for you to tell me a story.
Who's going to do it today? Who has a story that they remember about Jesus? Doesn't have to be old people. Could be medium people. Could be young people. Could be children.
Although they
tend not to tell me stories. Who has a story that they like that tells about Jesus?
Wait, who said that?
Oh.
Thanks for saving me, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Okay, so wedding at Cana, and you said what else about it?
That's where, you know, they ran out of wine, and wedding for a big festival. A lot of people were coming from all over. It was like 3 days of celebrations, and they ran out of wine, and that was like a big pull off. Like, you don't do that. And Mary gives her
Which son Mary?
The mother.
His mom, yep.
The one that heard them. Gave him a little nudge and said, hey, it's your time. Let's step up here. Let's help come. And he's like, I'm too young to be doing this. And told him, okay, I'm going to do it. Told him, we'll fill up the jugs up with water and put them into wine, saving the host a huge space. And then they go, traditionally, you serve the best wine first. And then, you know, you get to the inferior wine. Here, this is the best one.
Very well done. Do you want to come up and just give the sermon? You want to explain?
I'll find myself 20 minutes.
Well, I'm gonna sick Terry on me. So give me 10 minutes, Terry. Watch your watch. Give me 10 minutes. And like do this or like cut off or something. Just let me know when it's 10 minutes. Okay, we are not getting close. Can I trust you? I don't know if I can trust him now. Wedding at Cana. All right, Jesus' first miracle. And it's reluctant. He does not necessarily want to do this. So here's a situation. Nicole explained it very well. Let me recap for you. So he and his family and his disciples, he takes all his friends. This is not one of those cases where you say, yeah, I have to RSVP by this date and I'm bringing these people and we will eat these foods. You don't do that. You just show up with whoever you have with you. So he's got a bunch of disciples. They all come. His family's there. And they're having a great time, they're drinking, they're dancing, they're celebrating, everybody's happy. And then we find out, through the magic of narration, that they run out of wine. This is not a good thing. This is, okay, seriously, for me, it would not be a good thing to run out of wine. I very much enjoy wine. But this is one of those things, like Nicole said, where they have to save face. If you run out of wine, you did not plan well enough for this event. And you are not being generous enough for any of these people. And so you will be talked about. You will be ostracized. People will be talking about this for years to come, for all the wrong reasons. And so they don't know what to do. The host family is panicking, and somehow, this is somehow a friend of Jesus' mom, Mary, friend of the family, and so she comes to him and she says, I know you can do something about this. Do something. And he's like, no, it's not time. And Nicole said, I'm too young. He says, it's not time. I'm not at that point in my ministry where I should be doing these public things. And she says, I'm your mother. Do it. Well, you know how that goes. Do it for me, she says. And for some reason, he gives in. So he goes and he tells the servants, put water in all these empty jugs. Just fill them to the brim with water. And they do. They do what he says. Because mom said, do whatever he tells you to do. It'll be okay. Just do whatever he tells you to do. And so he tells them to do this stupid thing. Put water in all these empty vessels. Well, yeah, okay, we can put water in, rinse out those wine jugs, and then have watered down wine. That'll work. It's not going to make people happy, but they're probably three sheets to the wind. Anyway, at this point, they'll never notice. It'll be fine. That's not what Jesus does. What happens is that water that everyone thought was going to be used to present some sort of watered-down version of wine becomes the most delicious, the most ample, the most beautiful wine ever. Now, I know we have some wonderfully accomplished vintners in this congregation, and you probably know that feeling if you do this sort of thing of looking through a glass at the wine you've made and that color. The color is so beautiful, and the aroma comes out of the glass and hits you in the face. You can almost taste it just by smelling it. And then you taste just a little bit on your tongue. And then the flavor moves to the back of your mouth. And then it coats your mouth. It's not a glug, glug, glug kind of thing. It's a very special moment if you like wine. So Jesus does this. This extravagant, overachieving. He could have just had like just enough wine to get him through, but he doesn't. There's tons of wine. He makes jar after jar of it. It's like the story when he has the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they end up with 12 baskets of leftovers. Jesus doesn't do things by halves. He jumps in full force and says, no, if we're going to do this, we are going to do this in a big way. This is what the story is about. It gets classified as Jesus' first miracle. He turns water into wine, and we all go, ooh. That's not necessarily what the story is actually about. It's about jumping in with both feet. It's about putting all of you in. It's about producing so much more because you did it in the name of God than you could ever do on your own. This story is that example of God's love for us. It's a miracle, yes. But it's also a miracle that we can do ourselves. We can produce that kind of largesse. We can be part of that kind of growth. Am I getting at this? Okay. That kind of growth, that kind of abundance, that kind of richness, simply by putting our whole selves into it. It's a wonderful story, and it's borne out again and again and again, most poignantly at the cross. Now, Jesus doesn't jump in with both feet. He doesn't actually jump in with both feet at the wedding of Cana either. He's reluctant, right? He's like, no, Ma, no, not right now. It's not time. And she insists, you're my son, you listen to me, you do what I tell you to do. He does the same thing when he gets to the cross. He's like, are you sure? I don't really want to do this. And God says, yeah, Yeah. It is time. The time is now. The time is now to be love for everyone. Love for the world. With no restrictions, no boundaries, just love. And sometimes that takes all of us. Our congregation here, I mean, just this morning, I'm thanking people off the top of my head, and I know I'm missing people. But look what we do together. Look at the things we do together in this community. This is love. This is love for the people around us. This is love for where we are. This is love for our building, even. This is love for the person sitting next to you in the pew. This is extravagance. This is Christ moving in and through us for the sake of everyone. That's what the wedding at Cana is about. Amen.